Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. In Isaiah 40 and verse 28, God asked a very provocative question. It's a question that really cut to the heart of the matter. God has a way of doing that. For example, Job was giving God his opinion of how things were. And God says, "Really, Job?" I'm paraphrasing. "Really, Job? And were you there when I stretched out the heavens? Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Were you there to counsel me, Job, that you counsel me now?" Very cutting question, very provocative to the heart of the matter. God has a way of asking us something. He doesn't sometimes correct us. He just asks us. And we walk away like, "Oh." Like, "He among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone," except now in question form. And we walk away and it just cuts to the heart of the matter. He's a way of doing that. He cuts to the heart of the matter. Verse 28 of Isaiah 40, he says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? And there is no searching of His understanding? Don't you know that God doesn't get tired? And He doesn't faint in the way. And there's no possible way you'll figure Him out." That's what he's saying there. You see, there is a strategy that Satan uses against the believer. And it's a strategy that comes in trials. As we get tired, we get weary. Perhaps you have a circumstance where you are investing in somebody over and over and over, and they're not responding, not responding, not responding, and you get tired. And there's a provision for that. That's not really a great thing. And God says, "Don't you know that I don't get tired? And don't you know that I don't faint? And don't you know that in your fainting and getting tired, you get faint and tired because you don't understand my ways?" Like, who would have thought that the key for the publican to coming to the mercy of God was to be a publican? But really, in that man's life, because of the condition of his heart, that's what it took. He had to come to the end of himself. Until he realized his real state. The Pharisee was in the same state. He just didn't recognize it. And then the publican receives mercy. Because at that point, the publican realized that the ways of God are the ways of mercy and grace. Not the ways of human production for righteousness, like the Pharisee thought. And so God says, "Don't you know, haven't you heard, that I don't get tired and I don't faint?" Now, sometimes we believers will go through things and we kind of talk like Job talked. Right? We think like Job thought. And in Job 10:1 he said, "My soul is weary of my life. I just want to die. I'm tired of it and I want to die. I will leave my complaint upon myself. Because God, you're not even hearing me anymore. So I'll leave my complaint upon myself. I'll speak in the bitterness of my soul." This is a man who was fainting. He said, "I want to die. God, you're not even hearing. What's the use in praying?" You ever pray and it's like you don't get it and it seems like the opposite comes through? Like you pray and the total opposite is what happens? You ever have that happen? God, do such and such, not the other. And God does the other. And you get to the point where you say, God, what's even the point of talking to you? You're getting a little bit faint, are you? God doesn't get tired. But you see, the whole thing about the other is you don't understand. You have no way of understanding the ways of God because they are above the ways of a man. Like, how do I know what God will do to bring about anything? How do I know what God will do to bring about the answer to a prayer? How do I know what God will do when I pray for the lost to be saved, what He does with that person that I'm praying for? Hey, you know what? I would have never guessed in a million years that the road to being a pastor was through preparing for medical school. That made no sense to me. I didn't worry about it because I knew it was the will of God, but it made no sense to me. And once in a blue moon, I would try to line the two up and I'd just say, I don't know. You see, His ways are beyond my understanding. But I do know one thing, that He doesn't get weary, and He doesn't get weary of us either. Have you ever felt like in your trials or your circumstances that God gets tired of your complaining? Or maybe just tired of you? And you think, I would be tired of me. I know God must be. And God says, I don't get tired of you. And then you're crazy. No, it's just my ways are past your understanding. You're crazy. God never gets tired of you. And God does not get tired of your circumstance, and God does not get tired of you in your circumstance. God never gets tired of you in the trial, and He doesn't get tired of the trial for you. He doesn't get weary like we do. And He doesn't faint. Sometimes we believers faint. Sometimes we faint toward ourselves. Sometimes we faint toward circumstances. Sometimes we faint toward people. Have you ever had a situation where you're dealing with somebody in some manner or another and you just get tired of them? And I wish you were different. And God says, I don't get tired of them. I don't wish they were different. They are what they are by the grace of God. I don't wish they were different. And the differences that they need created in their life, I will do for them by my Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Because only God can change the heart. He said, I don't get tired of them. I know the end from the beginning. You see, you can't understand what I'm doing in their lives, but I know exactly what I'm doing in their lives. Because I know the end from the beginning. God understands the process. We don't. And that's one of the things that causes us to be tired, is we don't get the process. God does. So the only way that I can respond to God in the process is simply come to Him in faith. And say, God, I don't get it, but I'm trusting You. And then relax. The place where I get weary is the place where I try to pick things up that I'm not intended to carry. You ever try to carry the call of God or the will of God? That's a heavy burden. You cannot carry the call of God and you cannot carry the will of God. Do you get that? You cannot carry the call of God and you cannot carry the will of God. What do? You come unto Him. You simply come to God in your condition and you trust His character on your behalf. You trust that faithful is He who called you who will also do it. You trust that He will never leave you nor forsake you. You trust that what He said He shall perform. See, the will of God is not for me to carry. The will of God is for God. sometimes He shares it with me to build me up. To say, hey, you know what? I haven't forgotten about you. There really is a purpose for your life. But don't ever try to carry that. You live in the day. You don't live in tomorrow. Pastor Stevens always called it the eternal is. Now is just passed by. Tomorrow isn't here yet. All I have is the eternal is. I don't live in tomorrow and I don't live in yesterday. I live in the eternal is. And right now, God loves you just where you are. And you live in that. And right now, God is faithful to you right where you are, and you live in that. And right now, God is true right where you are, and you live in that. But you don't live in tomorrow. Tomorrow is not here yet. How can you live in it? You see, when the believer gets tired and weary, there is a dangerous element to that because the enemy takes advantage. And in 2 Samuel 17 and verse 2, the Word of God says, "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed." And this is how the enemy operates. "I'll come upon him when he's weary and weak-handed, and I will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only." This was Absalom's threat against, or actually Absalom's general threat, a general's threat against David. But in typology, it's how the enemy works with us. He comes upon you when you're tired. And it seems like everybody flees. Or maybe you withdraw. But then there's a result. He smites the king only. In other words, when I get weary in the way, he smites God in my life. The practical outworking of God's provision in my life, the quickening of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God moment by moment, He takes it away because they get weary. And the reason is because I became afraid. See, one of the things about weariness is fear. And fear is the fruit of unbelief. That's called fainting. When I stop believing, I faint. I can't do that. I can't do that. Truth of the matter, though, is for the believer, in Isaiah 54:17, there is no weapon that is formed against you that can prosper. Even the fear that I have in my own heart cannot prosper because I don't belong to myself. It would have to prosper against God. And nothing that comes against God can prosper. And because I am in Christ, there is no weapon formed against me that has any ability whatsoever to prosper. And so where the enemy comes in is he gets me to fear through unbelief. And when he can get me to do that, he'll cause me to start making decisions. You see, he can't make my decisions. He can simply give me wrong information. And on the basis of that information, I make my choices. And the reason why he can give me wrong information is because I didn't guard my heart with the right information. I didn't guard my heart with meditations of his faithfulness and his goodness and his loving kindness. I didn't guard my heart with his promises. I didn't guard my heart with his character. I didn't guard my heart with the fact that he loves me with an everlasting love and with loving kindness he'll draw me. And so I start to fear, and in fear, because I've entered into unbelief, I'll make decisions on the basis of fear rather than on the basis of him. This is where we faint. But I have to remember that I am in him. Do you get that? You're literally in him. You can't see it because you can only see a small portion. Scientists tell us that even with our eyes of the physical world, maybe, it may be that we can only see a tenth and our brain fills in the rest. Can you imagine that? We can't even see what we think we see. Our brain is giving us information, and that information is being translated into an image. Isn't that though how it happens? I get the wrong information and it's translated into an image, and I think something is one way and it is not. I think that I'm going to be overtaken, but I am not. I think that God is going to fail me, but He is not. I think it's too late, but it is not. Because my brain is perceiving the wrong information because it's not responding to the Word of God. But that's not reality. Reality is in His Word. That's where you find reality. So don't worry about what you can see, turn to His Word, and you'll find your reality. This is why He said in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint in verse 1. And then He talks about the woman who went to the unrighteous judge, and that's not talking about an unrighteous judge per se, it's talking about a judge who dealt with financial issues. And there was a dispute she had, and the judge wanted to ignore her. And he was a worldly, and she kept pursuing and pursuing and pursuing until she got her answer. Because she knew that he was able to give her one. And this was a human being who did not have God's righteousness and who simply dealt with temporal matters. But God deals with all my matters, and He has no unrighteousness, and He is for me and He is not against me. And so you better believe that He will take care of whatever it is that concerns you. We don't faint because we trust Him. We believe His character, we believe His promises, we believe His nature, we believe His Word, we believe everything about Him, and so we don't faint. You see, in Isaiah 40, this is what it meant, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, in verse 31. The word wait there is not just sit around, look at the clock and wait. That's a picture of a waiter, like in a restaurant, a servant. The person who goes about in the service of the Lord as they are expecting something will renew their strength. In Psalm 123 in verse 2, behold, the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. So you're in a trial or a circumstance or whatever it might happen to be, you're praying for somebody to get saved or get right or whatever it is, you don't wait, you go about fellowshipping with God, you go about getting built up in His Word, you go about making right decisions, you go about soul winning, you go about being in the service of the King. And then your strength will be renewed and you will not faint. You see, He doesn't faint. There's something about serving God, something about pouring out. It's really funny. The people who really have good doctrine invariably tend to be the ones who has a lifestyle soul win. The churches that have good doctrine tend to be the churches that soul win. The churches that don't soul win, ultimately for some reason their doctrine somehow goes askew. It's like that with us. We pour out and we're quickened. I don't know why, it's just the way it works. We pour out, maybe because the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. We pour out and we're quickened. You want to know the best way to get right? Pour out. You want to know the best way to maturity? Pour out. You want to know the best way to get out of yourself? Pour out. You want to know the best way to solve your hang-ups? Pour out. The person who's pouring out is too busy to spend time wallowing in their self-pity. The person who's pouring out has the Holy Spirit flowing through them, and as He flows through them, He does something for them. So you pour out. And pouring out may mean investing or being a soul winner, or pouring out may simply mean that you're trusting Him and you're meditating on His character and His nature, because there you're pouring out to Him. Hey, have you ever thought about it? You can pour out to God. He wants you to. So I said, "My son, give me your heart." There's a reciprocity there. He's given and I return something. Hey, by the way, this is what tithing is about. We don't talk about tithing much here, but this is what tithing is about. It is from God. These people who say, "Hey, God gave me everything I have and all He wants is 10% back." Now, I don't know who tithes or doesn't, so don't get introspective. I don't do the money. But that's what He says. And then He blesses my finances. Go figure in Malachi chapter 3. Then He blesses my finances. Hey, you know what? I found something to be true. The first time I went out with my back, I got laid up for a year. My wife got sick, wound up losing her job because of it, having to give it up. And so we have zero income for a year. Did you know that we never had a lack of money? You know why? Because we tithed. Go figure. I know that, like, when I was a young believer, for a small season, we stopped tithing. Man, our finances went down the toilet. And we just started tithing, and all of a sudden they're back. I don't know how it happened. We had more money than we made. And we didn't steal anything either. I don't know. You just do it right with God. You pour out and He pours out to you. And it works like that with character. You pour out. You start investing. Hey, young people. Start investing in somebody younger than you. And you'll be amazed how fast maturity comes. Pour out. God doesn't get weary. He doesn't get weary with you. And He doesn't get weary about you. And He doesn't get weary about your circumstance. In Isaiah 30:18, in closing, He says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you." Hey, sometimes you don't get your answer right away because God's trying to be gracious unto you. God's trying to bring something of His kingdom into your life. "And so He waits that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him." Why? Because they're taking their place in the kingdom. That's why. They're doing it His way. That's why. And then they receive that which God has for them. And they received it with joy and not with trepidation and angst. Amen.